cardboard boxes. I tell you, every Monday, when I'm the one who rolls the container down for recycling, I sit there and I think, my friend Lonnie Pollock must be making a bloody fortune. All the Amazon packages that come seem to come in individual boxes, and Pollock Paper has been making those things for 100 years. Lonnie Pollock joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. I wish I made them all.
But you must make your fair share. I got to feel it. I mean, you're eating all kinds of paper products, and everybody knows Pollock Paper. You've literally been here for 100 years. But this has got to be the best time there ever would be to be, you know, in the cardboard box manufacturing business, wouldn't it?
It's definitely helping. There's no doubt there's been a huge influx of e-commerce on really any product line or subject matter to some extent in the last year or so, as everybody's aware.
And all of it's being shipped out in cardboard boxes.
It's really evolving. It's not as much boxes now with some of the freight and things that are changing, but there's still tons of boxes. Some of the other packaging is in plastic and things like that, bags and things like that.
Do you get into that business?
We do, absolutely. And people are looking for ways, as the freight companies react to more shipping and costs are being driven up. Yeah, they're looking for alternatives, although boxes are still, you know, a huge, huge part of the business.
So where's the chicken and where's the egg? So if do you come to me and say, I've got this great new way of, you know, containerizing or shipping your product, or do I come to you and I say, how the heck do I get this to the end user?
I wish people came to us. No, we're pretty much outbound. We do obviously get some referrals and things like that, but we're trying to look and talk to customers about ways to potentially improve their processes, lower their costs, and hopefully ultimately improve the customer experience, because it's in their odds are to, you know, see this happen.
You know, you've grown much beyond just North Texas, which is where the roots are. And you're in Atlanta?
We have a place in Atlanta.
Charlotte?
Charlotte, North Carolina. And then primarily focused in Texas for our street distribution business. Yeah.
How'd you grow? Is this organic growth, or did you take over companies?
We followed some customers, to be honest with you, way back when. You know, one of these promises, well, we'll go wherever you go, and they started going that way, and it really made sense. And, you know, our word's kind of all we got, so wish there was a better master plan, but it's actually worked out really, really well for us. It's enabled us to sort of, you know, do our local business in Texas and all of our major markets in Texas, and also then service people in the Southwest and the Southeast out of multiple locations.
Yeah, there aren't many companies that make it third generation, or certainly not beyond a third generation. I mean, invariably, it splinters up. There are too many siblings. They don't want the business. Look at the car business.
It's the cursed one. I've heard that by a lot of people. Right.
So is it? It must have been a challenge, I mean, remaining independent like this and private.
Oh, yeah, it's always a challenge. Our business is certainly not easy. I think we're in a pretty grinded out basic business. Some of our business is certainly commoditized to some extent, but there's still lots that we can do to bring value and service to our customers across many like product lines, for sure.
So you got to keep it in the family?
So the game plan, I have a son who, as you well know, grew up kind of with your son. As to some extent, we've saw through many a basketball game and football game and
yeah,
all kinds of stuff. So he's been there now almost, I guess, 6, 7, 8 years, and is really doing well. And he's becoming the way I was when I was his age, thinking that anybody probably 50, 60 plus in my age, that we've sort of not smart, and his generation's smarter, and they have all the answers. You know how that goes. So we're learning together as we go, and you know, the business continues to evolve, because you have to.
It is evolving, isn't it? I guess there is always new, especially if you're going along and, you know, moving to the plastic products and things like that. You're going to make containers for drones?
We would love to make containers for drones. We actually may, for all I know, but I'm not really sure we need drones dropping off stuff, but that's another discussion for somebody else.
Is that realistic?
For me, we could certainly make packaging to ship a drone, but, you know, is it realistic, I think, in my world or our world and the products we do? You know, I never say never, because if you think about what's happened in the last 5 or 6 years, who knows? But, you know, we look at it, we want to keep up with technology. We want to be on that second wave on a lot of stuff, because I don't know if you need to be first on everything, especially what we do, because we're still in the people business, we're in the relationship business,
yeah,
and we bring a lot of value in helping people look at their businesses and look for ways to improve processes.
So I know how far forward you go. I mean, you delivered the boxes and the stuff to the end user. How far back do you go? Do you buy, you know, corrugated paper and turn it into boxes, or you don't have pulp mills?
No. We used to way back when. Right now, we are a kind of a two-pronged thing. We are a big distributor of lots of finished good products for major manufacturers and all lines and products. And then we also manufacture and corrugated boxes at two of our plants from point of purchase, you know, stuff like that for retailers, which is big in the e-commerce piece, all kinds of shipping containers, big in the craft beer and craft liquor businesses.
Oh,
and,
really?
And then we
that is a growing business.
Oh, that's huge. And they're really into packaging because you're trying to identify your product on the shelf as you enter a market. And so those people spend on creativity, and we have a great creative department that helps work with our clients to develop those images.
So you, I guess it must have been your father who picked up the roots of the company and moved it way, way out west to the wiles of Grand Prairie.
I was the Grand Prairie guy.
Was it your idea?
It was my idea for multiple reasons.
Well, then
reasons.
The whole world came around you. Now you're not on your own.
You're a little bit of a pioneer.
I see you next to Lone Star Park and the theater that's out there.
Yeah, we are the fish out of water. And ultimately, if people really remember back, we went out there as a great location, centrally in the Metroplex. There's a long story, a real estate issue with the park that we bought our property in. Lots of things happened. Built a racetrack to solve the problem. Sports Corp was found. They started doing underdeveloped. And then so there was like all kinds of entertainment stuff around us. And, you know, we're just doing what we originally set out to do there. So it all really works well.
Actually, Lion Country Safari was there when
we had the property under contract. And the year before it flooded, the animals came across the road, actually.
We had the
100-year flood that year. I couldn't get out there when I had to go look at the property to see if it was flooded.
And when you turned into
a big
game. I got
through, and I could have. They were tranquilizing the animals on our property. But whatever. It didn't flood.
Lottie Pollack overseeing a 100-year-old company. Actually, it's this year. Started in 1918.
Correct.
By Lawrence S. Pollack, and still going strong. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. Thank you for the time.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.